Sport on RTE Radio 1.
24 minutes to 9, and Des Cattle is back with the sport.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure if you're going to remember this, Samantha, but to cheer us all up today, I'm opening with a famous piece of RTE commentary from this day exactly 37 years ago. It begins in an almost eerie quietness or silence. I'll explain why in a moment, but it ends in wild, joyous Irish celebration. So cast your mind back to Sunday, June 12th, 1988, at exactly 2:36 p.m. This is Gary Leegan.
So a free kick to Ireland then, just inside their own half of the field. Kevin Moran to take it, right foot hits it long towards the left side of the English penalty area. Stapleton surrounded by two white shirts. Galvin gets the ball, looking for Aldridge. England defence in a mess. John Aldridge going for the high ball, trying to knock it down for Hout. Dana, goal! Ireland have scored! Roy Houghton, less than 6 minutes gone in the game. John Aldridge to Liverpool, 1-2. John Aldridge heading down to Roy Houghton, looping header from him, completely beat Peter Shelton. And nine and a goal up, just less than 6 minutes played. Great goals, the referee looks at the watch. And it's, has he blown the final whistle? Yes, he has! And the place erupts at Stuttgart, because Ireland have beaten England by a goal to nil. The Irish substitutes, manager Jack Charlton, they're all out on the field of play, arms around one another. The Irish fans to our right, in their thousands, are going wild.
I love those clips.
The I was five years old. You probably remember it though, do you? Yeah.
I do. I was 12. The minute I hear the line, England defence is in a mess, I know what's coming next. Yeah, it's a great line of commentary.
It was funny because I was presenting Sunday Sport, and it's the first time we brought it. We did it live from Germany and the circuits died. We had no circuits. So we were using it. So the programme started at 2, the match kicked off at 2:30. I was using a phone, there was no mobile phones.
Yeah.
Noel Spillane from the Examiner, the Examiner's correspondent, allowed me to use his phone. So I was using the speaking part of the phone, like a microphone, passing around to people to interview. And Gabriel started, and the lines just came then. We didn't, that's why there was no atmosphere at the start when he began speaking. It was a really dramatic day, but I think that's the day that kicked it all off for
Absolutely.
The whole thing.
Yep.
Italian 90 was good, but we never expected that.
That tournament was fantastic.
Yeah, only 8 teams qualified for the Euros then, now there's 24. But anyway, it's just to cheer you up. There's no significance. Back in the real world, meanwhile, day one of the US Open Golf gets underway today. It's the third of 4 majors on the golfing calendar, and looking ahead to it now is Greg Allen.
Just 2 Irish players in the field this week, like it was at the Masters, and that didn't turn out too badly. And again, this has a lot of ingredients of a week of possibilities in the now storied history of Irish men's professional golf, as we ride this wave of 11 major championship successes since Paddy Carrington bridged a 60-year gap in the majors almost 18 years ago. There's concern, though, about the form of Rory McIlroy, whose Masters success was a career peak of such emotional impact that he has been slow to find anything like the motivation that preceded it in the intervening 2 months. He's expressed the notion this week that his recent poor showings at the USPGA Championship and last week's Canadian Open were important alarms as he looks for the reset button. But he's not yet ready to punish himself for the indifferent form that he's in right now as he prepares for the extremely stern test this week at Oakmont.
You dream about the final putt going in at the Masters, but you don't think about what comes next. You've just accomplished something and you want to enjoy it. And I think chasing a certain goal for the better part of a decade and a half, you know, I think I'm allowed a little bit of time to relax a little bit, but we're here at Oakmont and I certainly can't relax this week.
Shane Lowry is arguably as strong a challenger as Rory this week, given his consistent good form, even last week in Canada when he ascended into contention on Sunday. He's been twice a runner-up on the PGA Tour this season. He's made 12 cuts in his last 13 events, and he agrees that he's in the form of his life. But not winning while in such form has really been quite painful.
Yeah, I think it's the best I've ever been, but it's also the most effort I've ever put in. I was going to say I'm getting the rewards. I don't feel like I'm getting the rewards, to be honest, because every Sunday I come off the golf course, I feel like I'm after getting punched in the gut. I can't remember the last time I walked off the 18 green on a Sunday afternoon happy with myself, so that's hard to take. But, you know, there will be some Sunday soon, hopefully, where I'm walking off that 18 green pretty happy and pretty proud of myself. And, you know, hopefully it'll be this week.
Lowry and McIlroy, good pals that they are, have been drawn to play together alongside Justin Rose. And that grouping is on the course from the 10th tee at 20 minutes to 1.
All right, thanks, Greg. Ahead of Saturday's big rugby final, the ORC decider at Croke Park, Leinster and the Bulls will name their teams today. It's a clash of Ireland's top team against South Africa's most successful club as the two teams look to lift the trophy for the first time in the ORC era. Jake White's Bulls would be hoping it's third time lucky because they lost the inaugural final to Stormers and then lost to Glasgow last season. And while Leinster have won the Pro 14 title before, they'll be competing in their first ever URC Grand Final. Marcel Coetzee, the Bulls' captain, says the rivalry between the two nations and the hunger of both sides for the title will lead to a massive game.
Yeah, no, I think it all builds up to the desperation from both sides for this weekend, you know. So you can expect a massive clash and a lot of energy and a lot of intensity, you know what I'm saying. But, yeah, well, look, if you take the two sides of the two countries that participates in the URC, you know, it was always, I think it was Stormers against Munster in the final, and we always had to play Leinster in the semi-finals, you know. So, no, look, I think both countries' teams, representatives are phenomenal when it comes to playoffs. And, you know, last season, Glasgow, also, we played them in the final and then came short there. But, look, it's so unpredictable, this format, you know. I mean, last season, you know, the teams that ended up first and second didn't end up winning the competition. You know? So it's very unpredictable at stages. And it just shows you the quality of the URC from all the teams, and particularly the South African teams and the Irish teams. You know, we had some good battles, you know, building up to this and the semis and finals. And I think I expect this weekend won't be any different.
Yeah, we'll have live commentary of that game on Saturday afternoon. Feast, a big match as well, with the Gaelic Football Championship is in action too. In cricket, Ireland's main bowler Josh Little is ruled out of this week's T20 Internationals against the West Indies, the first of those Ireland playing the West Indies in Breedy in County Tyrone today. In hockey, the Irish men's team lost 2-0 to world number one and Olympic champions the Netherlands last night in the FIH Pro League. The sides meet again at 7 o'clock this evening, and a reminder that racing's in Leopardstown beginning at 4:40.